Hi friends, Professor Venkatayar again, chapter number 6, titled as Selection and Training of Trainers. So let's get on with it. Objectives of this chapter: appreciate the importance of selection and training of trainers. Identify the competencies, skills required for being a successful trainer. Learn the procedure involved in the selection of trainers. And finally, understand the factors that enhance the credibility of a trainer. Meaning and significance of trainers. The trainer forms the focal point of the whole training process. I mentioned this in chapter 5. The trainer is a driver of change process of the behaviors and the mindset of the participants. Earlier on, long back, trainers used to have a linear way of training. Linear, I put in inverted commas. What does it mean by linear? It was more like a lecture and only work related. Nothing much about behavior. That was long back. It used to be a fixed period in a formal setting like a classroom. Many banks, public sector banks, I have done training in the long back for them. It was more like a lecture being delivered. So they used to call it training programs. Today, of course, it's changed because the emphasis was not given on behavior. The paradigm was very different. Training meant imparting information and data, and then it was assumed that people will use it and change themselves. So this is more like a technical training, not a behavioral training. So it was linear those days. It was assumed that after such a training, the results will come through the behavioral changes. Just because you read number of books doesn't mean that your behavior will change. It requires something else also. Just because you're highly qualified doesn't mean that you'll be a good manager. That's your behavior. Behaviors are very different. It is expected that more education, it is expected that more data, more information will bring about a sensitization of your thinking process, but it does not happen in many cases. Right? Post-training history has proved otherwise. After training, when you calibrate people, after training is over, it has proved totally different. Today, trainers are multidimensional. I come from industry, I'm a mechanical engineer. I've had experience in production, marketing, market research, materials, technical services, in a vast number of industries, pan-India. That's one part of the thing, dimension. Second dimension, I've been into training on my own. I have my own company. I meet people. I do leadership coaching. I try to understand human behavior. It's a subject which I teach. So there's a multiple dimension which a trainer needs to have to understand, to have an approach and focus on the content as well as the process of training aspects. What is to be trained? How to do the training? All this is augmented when you're multidimensional. If you come from a linear background where you know something and you're talking about it, even with your experience, if you don't apply the experience into application, then there is an issue. The trainer's role is to integrate various learning methodologies to imbibe the understanding of the subject and convert it into a behavior. The trainer's role is to integrate, bring together various learning methodologies to absorb the understanding of the subject and convert it into a behavior. Knowing something is one part of the story. Converting it into a behavior is a different story altogether. This conversion from knowledge or data or information into behavior is the role of the trainer. And for that, he must use various methods or methodologies. Talking, giving case studies, making them involved into presenting here, putting them into group dynamics. These are all the various methodologies I can adopt. No one single methodology works for all. So we have to have different strokes for different folks. Today, trainers are expected to work with limited resources and produce outstanding results. What are the limited resources? There are certain constraints. Organizations have got their constraints. They say within this time and this period and this resources, this is what we want from you. That's why the skill of the trainer has to be very high. He must, in management terms, we say an optimum utilization of available resources. He must learn to actually put it into action. It's a cliché statement, which we talk about often, but are we really doing it in action is a big question. Trainers need to do that under these circumstances. However, the scenario is changing into trainers being strategic partners. Today, trainers are strategic partners, as in strategic HRM, so that they are seen as investment drivers rather than expenses. Today, when I go to an organization, I sit with the people there, I talk to them. It's not just the HR people. I also meet the other stakeholders. So I get to know the full scenario. And I try to map how my training is going to make a change in their strategic plans. How it is going to impact their strategic needs. That's where I come from. A trainer has to realize that what he or she is doing in the training hall is impacting the company's top line, bottom line, not only now, even for the future. So I need to generate behaviors. I need to facilitate people to generate behaviors in the training hall so that those behaviors are going to be useful in the strategic needs of the organization. That's why the trainer needs to have a strategic approach, not just a module is given to me. I know a little bit of it here and there. I deliver it and I throw my hands up. No, it's a commitment. So in short, trainers are more committed today than before. They need to be. Trainers themselves need to go through sharpening their own training skills from time to time. As a trainer, I need to update myself from time to time. So I need to go through training. So once in 6 months, I look for somebody from whom I can take some inputs which I would like to expand. So I go and sit there, upgrade myself, reading, meeting people, listening to people who are not like you, who are different, and getting more and more inputs. That openness is very important. Training thus has a major significance in today's businesses, right? Successful or effective trainers display three qualities: performance excellence, subject expertise. Domain experts in the field of training, action-oriented, flexible in approach, simplifying the content to reach the average participant. You've got a training which has got a lot of information, training syllabus. You have mastered it because you have done a number of training. You have seen it from different angles, experimented, etc. You know what it's what. So you're making it into a nutshell and delivering it. It should be action-oriented and simplify the whole content. I have noticed trainers using a lot of jargon in the training program. And participants also sometimes, by default, they're expecting the trainer to use jargon. You never use this thing. It is jargon is only a vehicle on which you're going to give a process. What is important is not the jargon. What is important is what happens to you. Using a jargon is very impressive. But are you expressive in the change of your behavior? That's a big question. So, when I create a training module, so people are expecting jargon to be there, I simplify the jargon into layman's terms. I make it a point to do that. The body of training where I'm an expert, neuro-linguistic programming, is full of jargon. I make it a point to de-jargonize it, simplify it so that people don't get overawed by the jargon. All of you will agree, when a jargon is given, you get impressed, you get overawed. Very few people realize that the jargon is just a technical connotation for something that is very simple to understand. Our role is to de-jargonize so that it reaches the average participant. Communication excellence is very important, obviously, otherwise you can't be a trainer. They have to have teachable point of view. Their style of communication connects well with even the most average person. The least common denominator. The communication should be such that it reaches everybody. The smartest person in the room who catches it fast, the average person who takes time to catch, and the slowest person who takes a lot of time to catch. You can't be impatient. You must ensure that you create a critical mass of people in the room who are more or less in sync with what you're talking. Okay? Service orientation. Training is a service. So what do you mean by service? I'm training. I'm getting my money from the company. But there is a different dimension in this area. I'm making a change in somebody's life. It is not just the corporate context. It's about a human being who's sitting there and who's getting influenced by me. More of a service to make changes in others. Willingness to share and impart knowledge. No fear of competition. What is this no fear of competition? One trainer is as good as himself. I always say this. I compete with myself. So if a company tells me that, look, so-and-so gave me this quotation, so-and-so is giving me this, I said, take it from him. I said, I give you this. And all my so-called competitors are my good friends. Each one of us are giving unique services. I look at them that way. I got lovely friends in my community of trainers. Okay? There's nothing like a competition. I'm not selling a product. For that matter, even the product today, the competition part of it is now gone. All of you know about it. It's about how well I sharpen my skills, how well I compete with myself to become better day by day. And that comes only when I'm having a service orientation, not a competitive type of orientation. Training is one such area. And this is gaining a lot of ground today, right? Technical competencies, competencies of trainers. What are the competencies? One is a technical competency, adult learning understanding. Knowing how adults acquire and use knowledge, skills and attitudes, understanding individual differences in learning. What is adult learning? Two types of learning, child learning and adult learning. A child is absorbing whatever you say. It may question you, it may not question you. Adults have got some life experience. And you have some experience about certain aspect of life. Struggling without money, you may have some experience. Then if I tell you something which is contrary to your experience in your belief system, you're going to contest me, definitely. So adult learning, understanding, I must have an understanding that being adults, they have their own background and experience from where they come. And so their learning will always have a certain type of resistance. The resistance is not deliberate. Whenever I say something, they'll contest me. Now they're not trying to contest me to prove that I'm wrong. They say, my experience doesn't say what you're talking. This is what I've seen in my life. And which is fair enough. That's where the empathy comes. So this aspect, that understanding should be one of the competencies of the trainer. Next is career development theories and techniques. Knowing the techniques and methods used in career development, understanding their appropriate uses. What is a career development theory? Every organization has got a certain career development path or a career development module or a flow chart. And there are ways of doing it. And each of the persons who are sitting in the training room has got his own method of climbing up that particular career ladder. So I need to know how these are operating. I need to know how these things create dynamics within the person who's participating in the training room. Which means it's a give and take of information. Many things I may not know, but through a dialogue I'll come to know. I would have been briefed by the training manager on some aspect. He might have by default missed out on something. I may get that information from the training room where the participants are there, the managers are there. It's possible. So this is an important area because that is going to help me to give them more inputs. The third point is I need to identify what are the competencies. Each one is having different competencies. Each one is needed to have more different competencies, identifying the knowledge and the skills, requirements of the job, tasks and the roles. An operations manager is sitting there. A marketing manager is also sitting in the training room. Both of them are coming from different experiences and backgrounds. Operation manager's behavior will be based on his operations background. The marketing manager's behavior will be based on a marketing manager's background. Both of them are competent in their own areas. I need to identify and accordingly manage their training, their facilitation to them. Computer competency is very important today because we are in the IT, the electronic age. Understanding the use of computer application. Electronic system skill, having knowledge of functions, features, potential application. How to make a PPT, what are the different features of the PPT, etc., etc. Okay. Evaluation skills, determining the effectiveness of the training and its impact on the organization. Self-evaluation. keep asking, bouncing back from the training manager as the training is progressing, how is it going? Giving him feedback about what is going on. Media selection, through what medium I'm going to deliver the training? Is it online? Is it one-on-one? Now this is something that he has to choose based on so many factors. Objective preparation skills. Preparing clear statement that describe desired outputs. What is it that my training program is going to deliver? I must know the output very clearly. Whether it's a 2-day program, 10-day program, 1-month program, 1-year program, I must know that this is the objective it is supposed to deliver. So that should be very clear. Training and development theories and techniques understanding. Few people realize that behind every training, behind every successful training, there is a very strong theory. Everything is backed up with a theory. So that part of the theory which is put into application with modification is to be clear to you. Why do you need to know this? Because there are times when somebody is going to challenge you, somebody is going to ask you a question. It's so easy to say that, how do you know this is true? Where is the conclusive proof? Where is the theory behind it? Somebody is going to ask you. And behind everything that we are doing, there is a theory. Behind everything that we are doing, there is a theory. Figure it out, my dear friends. Anything that you're doing, there's a theory. What's a theory? A theory is a sort of an approach which is commonly valid for in most cases. It's universally valid. It's universally valid, but the theory is applied by different people in different ways. There's a theory of the engine running the motor, the car. Theory is constant, but every driver will use the theory differently. The theory of the behaviors, behavioral theories are all to be understood to deliver a behavior, but each behavior delivery will be different. It's a tricky thing. People do the delivery, many of them, but they do not know the theory. People know the theory, but they do not know how to deliver. This is an important combination or nexus you need to create. Third one is research skill. Selecting, developing and using methodologies such as statistical and data collection techniques for formal inquiry. Today we are dealing with numbers. So it's important for the trainer to know how to collate data that is collected, how to put them in a proper order and how to interpret it. So all of us know that there are some skill sets which a company wants from a particular person. So there are some 20-25 people sitting in my training room. A certain skill sets are given and there are certain parameters. So those parameters have to be properly tick marked. We have to put them together and we have to create, we have to collate them and interpret them in the manner in which the training is flowing. Just to give you one example. Now this skill is also needed today. So like after the training is over, you feed in the data and the data is going through some attrition process or whatever. And then through that we come out with something which gives you like a spider chart or some bar chart or some figure. And that is a pictorial representation of some changes that have happened in a behavior. So you must know to interpret that also. Okay. Business competencies, budget and resource management skills. This person should have, the trainers need to have how to understand budgeting, how to manage resources, utilizing, prioritizing and managing financial, material and human resources efficiently. I run my own company. It's Intraspect Development and I have to ensure that I have my budgets properly earmarked. I must have my working capital, blah, blah, blah. All that a finance person does, he has to do it. Even if he's an independent trainer, even if he's working as a freelancer, he needs to have these competencies. A business understanding. It's very important. Knowing how the dynamics of a business works, the economic impact of the business decisions. A trainer needs to know from start to finish how the company is operating, the flow chart. If the company is into the manufacturing of pharmaceutical products and selling it, he must know from the time the bulk drugs are made, the API formulations are taken care of, everything, that the entire flow chart, he is supposed to know it. How does it help him? It helps him in a big way. If I've got people from different parts of the company who are attending my training program, will it not be convenient for me to know how this department has what behavior? A business understanding is very important. And business to business, the expected behaviors are different. Service sector and manufacturing sector, two sectors are there, right? In a manufacturing sector, I may do one module on conflict management. Now there, I'll be addressing certain parts of conflict as related and expected in a manufacturing sector. In a service sector, the same conflict management module will have a different flavor because the business understanding is different. So it's important for the trainer to map the businesses. He has to do a lot of reading, meeting people, understanding what business operates in what way. The new age businesses that have come in, IT based business, BPOs, okay, ITs, IT companies, service centers. Now these businesses are very different from what it used to be ages ago. So do I know the understanding? Today we talk about big data. We talk about IoT. Now these businesses, these companies are coming up. They also go through training. Now do I know more about it? Do I know how these businesses operate? What is the behavior expected in these type of businesses? Okay. This is an important thing, business understanding, right? Data science, that's another new thing that's come up now. Wherein the trainers have to know how a data science company operates. What are the expected behaviors there, right? Organization behavior understanding is a very important OB. It's a subject, it's a vast subject. And how the what's an organization behavior? OB simply says that a human being, when he's in an organization, there are certain expected behaviors in line with the organization importance. He has his own behavior driven by some factors. The organization behavior is expecting certain things to happen. Seeing the organization as a dynamic, political, economic and social system that have multiple goals, using that larger perspective as a framework for understanding and influencing events. You as a organization person sitting in the company has got a certain behavior in the company, which is a sum total of many needs of the company. The company needs you to be a brand ambassador for the company. The company needs you to be effective in the function that you're doing. So there are multiple aspects to you. That sum total is an organization behavior, to put it in a nutshell. Next point is organization development theories and techniques. Knowing the techniques and methods used in organization development and understanding their appropriate use. What is OD? Again, a very big body of learning. The development of the organization in terms of manpower, its goals and aspirations over a period of time of large number of people. It's about numbers and change, two factors. So this is important. I'm an OD trainer, wherein I am involved in the change process of many companies on an ongoing basis. So if I know the OD, I teach this subject OD for HR people, and there's a very interesting area which amalgamates a number of behavioral approaches and company approaches, and it takes you to a different understanding. It's a very, very committed form of training on an ongoing basis. You literally become like a business associate with the company. You become like a consultant who's associated with the company on an ongoing basis. And you better know the culture of the company in and out. Then it becomes easy for you to do OD. Interpersonal competencies, this is a very, it's taken for granted. When you're a trainer, you need to know this. Coaching skills, helping individuals recognize and understand personal needs, values, problems, alternatives, etc. That's a role. Feedback skill, communicating information, opinions, observations, conclusions so that they are understood and acted upon. Giving people feedback. Objective feedback, feedback on the behaviors, don't get personal, respect the space of the person. Group process skills, influencing groups so that tasks, relationships and individual needs are addressed. Skills of negotiation, securing of win-win agreements while successfully representing special interests in the group. I want the group to do something and they may be reluctant to do it. So how to bring about a win-win agreement? If you do this, you'll win. We'll do something where both of us are in a win-win. Right? That's a negotiation skill. It's a buy-in skill. Presentation skill. Presenting information orally so that an intended purpose is achieved. How do you present it? Somebody may ask you an inconvenient question. Everybody's understood what you're talking in the training room. One person may ask you a question for which you may blink, you may not have an answer. It's possible. Right? So you do apply some techniques as a trainer. Pacing and leading, we say, one of the techniques. Or, you know, you try to give a pause. Then rephrase the question. Okay, what is the question? The question you're asking is this. then you ask him more questions to know what is the meaning of the question, why is he asking. And then you are in sync with him or her, and then you are able to talk to that person, you are able to present whatever you have. This is a skill. Presentation skill is tested in the worst case scenario. So you have to create in you a skill. It's more like a contingency. If the worst case scenario, somebody is going to ask an inconvenient question to you, challenging you literally on the dynamics of what's going on, you should be able to understand and appreciate and address that. Not to go on the defensive and saying that I am right and you are wrong. No. Every person is asking question because he or she has got something to learn. That's the way one has to look at it. An inconvenient question is telling the trainer, that he needs to know more than what he already knows. And so it's a learning for him or her. Questioning skill. Gathering information from and stimulating insight in individuals and other groups through the use of interviews, questionnaires and other probing methods. So being able to get information by asking questions in different forms and then creating insights in individuals based on the answers they give, having a one-on-one with them or in a group. Okay. Of course, this is very important, relationship building. According to me, training starts with relationship building. You first have to build a relationship, connecting skills. Establish a relationship and network across a broad range of people and groups. He should be a natural relationship person wherever he goes. Why only training? In fact, that's a skill that makes him a good trainer. Whether I'm dealing with the people, masses outside, or I'm dealing with the so-called classes in organizations, everywhere I must have a proper relationship skills. Important. And different strokes for different folks. I can't go on the roads and say I'm a trainer. In the roads, I have to talk the language, build a relationship with the way the people on the road are. And that's where you expand your thinking. That's where you expand yourself. Writing skill. Obviously, prepare written material that follows general accepted rules of style and form, is appropriate for the audience, creative and accomplishes its intended purpose. One of the things I'd like to just touch upon is, when it comes to giving handouts or giving, say, training material, make it least worded, make it less verbose. And one of the things which you can follow is bullet points. There's an idea which you want to convey. So put a bullet point, people would like to read it and assimilate it. Instead of writing rambling paragraphs and impressing people with a thick, fat manual, training manual, give them something very nice, small and sweet. Keep it small, keep it short and sweet, kiss. So when you're giving a written material, ensure that there is no scope for ambiguity. The more the words, the more the rambling words, the more you're trying to impress people that you know many things, you'll land up into trouble because it may be misinterpreted later when the evaluation takes place. Give them in very terse form, and when you give it, ensure that whatever you're given, they've understood, ask there and then. I make it a point to give single page handouts as a training progresses, and each of them are having bullet points, and then explain to them and ask them how many of you have not understood what I've written. So they give me a feedback. I said, this is what I meant. Please note it down there. So they keep it in a record. It's important. Otherwise, a written skill, if it is not there, you'll land up in trouble. For all the good work you've done, it'll be badly interpreted. Written skills are unfortunately misinterpreted if you don't use the proper wording and the proper style.